Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the winning podcast, the Pewter Nation podcast, talking about a winning football team that is on their way to winning a Super Bowl.
They're not a winning football team. They're 3-6.
They're 6-3.
They're 3-6.
On a six-game win streak?
No, they snapped a five-game losing streak with a win over the, I don't know how in the world they've won four games, New York Jet team.
Scott always tries to bring the podcast.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I'm trying to pump up Buccaneer fans.
I'm keeping
fans
it real.
Here.
Sorry.
You're the grumpy old man yelling at clouds outside. Stupid clouds, go away. Blue skies. All right, listen. They won.
Yeah, I know they did.
And they won it the way the old Buccaneer team used to do, right?
By not scoring?
Actually,
yes,
they kind of did.
Yes.
Yes. This was like a bastard son of a forgotten Bucs team way back in the day. You saw the sacks. I mean, that was great. I mean, this, you know, it looked like Warren Sapp and the gang for a quick minute out there.
They almost doubled their season total.
They almost did. They got six today.
I ran the numbers. 42% of their season sacks came today.
That's right.
That take you a while to figure that one out there, Gator Boy?
You know, calculators. Yeah. They're a beautiful thing.
They are.
It means you don't have to do math.
I'll just say this. If you think I'm being a Debbie Downer because I'm not like
you
sky
are.
High.
We do. I believe you
we
are.
Do.
Because of this win today, I'll have you know that DeSean Jackson said the exact same thing to the team after this win. Through Gerald McCoy, I got this quote. DeSean just told us to enjoy this game, but this is just one game. Don't forget where we came from. This is a small piece of what we can be. We can really take this thing over. He was reminding us, don't forget where we were last week. Don't get so high on this that we don't come back to work on Wednesday. And, you know, that's a bit of a damning thing for DeSean Jackson to have to say, is say, listen, guys, we beat the Jets. Great. We snapped a five-game losing streak. Awesome. But we're still 3-6. Last week, we were still 2-6. So don't let this win go to your heads. And I was just saying this to you, Trevor, before the podcast started. Isn't that kind of damning that you have to remind this young football team that you haven't turned the corner? You're 3-6 now. Mm-hmm. Don't get too high over this and be overconfident. But this team has been overconfident from the get-go. And I think that was a sage veteran thing for DeSean Jackson to actually say, to remind this team that, hey, it's great that we won, but we got to remain hungry. We can't settle for this. We're not back. We haven't arrived. We're still 3-6.
Kind of like the Florida Gators. No, I think you're still being a little negative there, Scott. in this sense, yes, he said that. But I would take it as more of an encouraging thing. Hey, great win today. Let's keep the focus. Let's keep what we're doing. I don't think that's out of place.
I don't think it's out of place.
Who in the hell on this team is going to jump up and down with a, what was the final score? This 15-10 win?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they beat the Jets 15-10. They didn't beat the Patriots 40-0.
Oh, there was some jumping up and down in the locker room. I think it's appropriate that DeSean Jackson said it. Now, listen, I don't want to deprive the players their joy from winning.
Wait,
they
was jumping up and down? I didn't see anybody jumping up and down.
There was the offense and defensive line
literally
actually
were jumping up and
they
down.
They got together.
Uh-huh.
Because typically what happens is the offensive line meets after every win and celebrates a bit, and the defensive line actually came together with them. They celebrated as trench brothers in victory, which was good to see. Gerald even said, hey, this is awesome. I hope we can do this again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this win helps. There's no doubt about it. It's not a bad thing. I'm just saying that realistically, this is not the end-all, be-all. This is not, Ryan Fitzpatrick said this could be a spark. Maybe it is. We'll see. Time will tell. But they're still 3-6. There's a lot of work left to be done. Celebrate it.
Wait,
yes,
a
have
second.
A good time.
First of all, offensively, obviously they got things back on track.
No, they didn't.
300 yards passing.
No.
Gross.
200 yards rushing.
No.
Offensive line,
Mark,
great protection.
They actually had 271 yards. The Jets actually outgained them by 4 yards. So, no.
That was garbage time, though, at the end. Who cares? Well, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, I mean, look, there are still some obvious issues on this football team, and you can't pin it all on the fact that Mike Evans wasn't here in this game. In fact, we were talking about this as the game got started when Fitzpatrick was kind of getting in rhythm with DeSean Jackson. And it's something I've talked about, and I think we've all talked about in the podcast. You know, so many options and weapons on this football team. Was Jameis trying to spread it around too much? Was he worrying about if this guy was going to get mad? That mm-hmm. when you take a couple of them out of the equation, or at least one of them out of the equation, it does right. limit it. And you've got to kind of be laser focused on a specific player. But here's the thing. This team should have been laser focused on DeSean Jackson from week one.
Right.
I understand Mike Evans is the veteran, the incumbent, but Dirk said it in the press conference today. He is our take it to the house, most electric player on offense. We got to figure out a way to get the ball in his hands.
But take
more.
It to the house doesn't mean the ball has to travel 50 yards in the air.
Correct.
And that was our thing all year. And what Mark, you and I talked about in the middle of the game, the routes that it seemed like he was running just. And there are a couple of them that Fitzpatrick didn't even connect on. It was just getting the ball in his hands early, and I don't remember.
Yards after catch.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think it was in the first quarter, maybe at the end of it, maybe the beginning of the second quarter. But he had that run where, you get it in his hands early. He gets to run for a second or two. Then he's got enough space to where he can even change direction, move up the field, get a couple extra yards. Like, that did not exist within, especially in the first 4 weeks. Overall, in the first 8 weeks, it just didn't exist.
You know, we've heard this now from Dirk Koetter twice in the past week or so, that DeSean Jackson has had his best 3 weeks of practice and the best three games, and his attitude's been great.
Right.
And if you're recognizing him, that the fact that his attitude's been great, and you're recognizing that he's been really great in terms of morale and camaraderie and production, that kind of speaks to the fact that maybe that wasn't there for the first 5 weeks of the season either.
Well, it doesn't speak to it. It tells you exactly that, Dirk said this is the reason. The last 3 weeks, he's given us the reason. He's given us everything we wanted more when we sign a free agent. This is what we expected out of DeSean Jackson, what we got the last 3 weeks. Now, I will say this. DeSean Jackson's new on this football team. He's not the most vocal guy. I think he had to kind of find his place. He didn't want to jump in and step on toes. And I think he's kind of found that. With Mike out today, look, this is the first time we've ever heard of DeSean Jackson addressing the football team after a game. I think that's important because he is a veteran guy who's been around the league. And I think, we talked about where the leadership was going to come from a couple weeks ago. I think it showed up a little bit today with DeSean Jackson, not just in this post-game speech, but as Dirk said, what he's done the last 3 weeks, including, Dirk mentioned, the way he's practiced during the week.
That's right.
And are you going to say something about DeSean? Because I was about to change it.
Go for it.
Okay, I was just going to say, and when you talk about leaders, guys stepping up, Lavonte David, too, not only in his performance, because we have noted that Lavonte's having an incredible year, but I caught I saw a couple images on Twitter, and then when I was looking at the big screen when the team was getting together for those speeches that they do, when they get together in the huddle before the game starts, right after warm-ups, Jameis, obviously normally the guy who's in the middle yelling and doing all that stuff. Lavonte was in the middle, and he was the one with his fist up, and I don't know how much, talking he necessarily did, but, he was the guy in the middle. It was his fist that was in the middle, so I'm sure that he said something.
Well, he did, and I actually have a secret recording. I haven't posted it yet. He was saying, do you guys like alphabets, and would you like to eat a W?
Please
and
stop.
He
started
no,
looking
no, no,
please
no,
stop.
He didn't say
please.
That.
No? He didn't?
Please.
All right, maybe I got misinformation.
Please, Mark.
Sorry.
Okay.
All right. Well, they did. They ate a W today. So
and those
that.
Are, but those are two guys who not only were they vocal before and after the game with their leadership, but they were certainly, I guess you could call it vocal on the field with
their
it.
Performance
with their performances.
Backed it up. And that's what we talked about. You can't. Jameis Winston can't be effective as a pregame speech leader when he goes out and plays the way he did against
Carolina. If you can't hit a pass,
you just can't. You've
got to
have
a
resume.
Nobody cares.
Right. I'm just seeing this now on Twitter. The Buccaneers are petitioning the league to play a rematch with the Jets for the next game at home. And then they're trying to reschedule a game against the Giants at home.
And the Bears.
So they just
the Bears, but certainly it seems like we let up this podcast with they're back in the New York groove. They're 2-3 against New York teams. They lost to the Bills, but at home, by God, they're undefeated against New York teams.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So just try to schedule a couple more.
Take
games.
That, Yankees fans.
There you go.
Well, and we'll see if this continues next week. Another very winnable game.
Yes.
All right, this is a game against Miami. Yes, it's on the road. No, they're not playing the Hurricanes. They're actually playing the Dolphins.
Thank
I think
God.
The Hurricanes could potentially beat the Dolphins. And I hate to admit it for you University of Miami fans, I'm not quite to say you're completely back, but you're getting damn close. And I hate to see it, but Still better than the Gators coming
Us
back.
Lifelong Canes fans have waited a long time.
Man. I was wondering what that car view was in the back of your shaved head. Wow. Now I know. I forgot. a Miami fan coming out of the woodwork like a cockroach.
Hey, man.
Just, anyway. All right.
We've been through a lot, okay?
Yeah, we've been through a lot. All right, next week, Miami, winnable football game. What does this team have to do? Let's just start. Let's just say this. What did they do today that was different than they haven't done all year? We kind of touched on it earlier.
They played real defense.
They
played tight, close coverage on third downs. They were aggressive. They blitzed up the A-gap. Yep. They stopped with the stupid stunts and twists, and they just ran up the field. Yep. They got themselves six sacks because of it. The corners were able to play close. And, yeah, Robbie Anderson got past Brent Grimes for a touchdown, but I mean, it's a fast wide receiver. You give him that every now and then. But all the other plays, you know, Vernon Hargreaves with that one throw, I think he was guarding Curse as he was going into the end zone. And mm-hmm. Hargreaves was playing close coverage the whole time, and because he was playing him so well, either that's a perfect pass
right.
or it's great defense. And yeah. it ended up being great defense. It was just out of his reach, but it's because of how Hargreaves played it. And I loved the way that they played defense today. It wasn't necessarily perfect in its execution, but they're blitzing. They're getting aggressive. Yeah. They're doing like they're.
Beckwith got a sack today.
They're giving themselves a fighting chance to stop teams. When you play off coverage the way that they have the first half of the season, you are basically saying, "Hey, offense, you better score 30 points because we're going to do that bend but don't break thing, and we're going to give up yards, and it's going to turn into points sometimes." Here, you're actually saying you can stop somebody.
And you know what? The last couple of sacks. The McCoy sack, the McDonald sack, the Tapp sack, all those came with the four-man rush. But the damage was done early to get the Jets' offensive line discombobulated.
Yes.
And then you're playing with the lead, and boy, what a difference that makes. Because then you know McCown's going to throw the ball. And
complimentary football, right?
Yes, and then the defensive line can rush for and actually get there because they're playing with their hair on fire. They know it's going to be a pass. They've got the lead, and they get in sack mode.
That's why it's so frustrating.
But it's just like you said. It started off with the blitzes, with the pressure to make McCown uncomfortable all day long. And we've seen the Buccaneer defense be abysmal on third down. Well, today, 3 of 15 for 20%. So the Jets converted 20% of their third downs. That might be the lowest number all year for any team against this Buccaneer defense.
Yeah.
Mark, you said what has to change for the Buccaneers to string some wins together and win next week? Well, they're going to be on the road. So the defense has got to give up less than 30 points, which is something they haven't done all year. This defense, for whatever reason, plays pretty good defense here at Raymond James Stadium. But they're a different animal on the road. Mm-hmm. And they've got to somehow tap into what's working here, and Trevor, I think you're onto it.
I see what you did there. Tap.
There we go.
Daryl Tap.
And blitz, Jay Cutler, Moore, whoever's going to be a quarterback for the Dolphins next week, and you know, and get some pressure in the A gap, get in the quarterback's face, play tight coverage. And that's going to do nothing but help this team.
That's why it was so frustrating earlier in the year. And we, you know, showed our emotions in our writing and in the podcast about, like, because you just watched the defense week in and week out play this style that
is not conducive to winning.
Yes. I mean, like, to put it plainly, you cannot do whatever they were doing and think that, like, why would you, for whatever reason, think that playing off coverage and having defensive line work that would take longer to get to the quarterback, why would you think that would work?
Yeah, but you know what, though? And this is kind of the damning thing. Whether you're playing against Drew Brees and Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn, you know, guys that can do some damage in the passing game, or you're playing against lesser opponents like Robbie Anderson, like Curse, like McCown.
Excuse you.
I believe that if you're going to go play, whether it's Tom Brady and the Patriots, whatever, you gotta say, this is what we're going to do. This is who we are.
100%.
We're a pressure defense. It shouldn't just be, oh, well, we can probably rattle McCown. Well, why can't you rattle Drew Brees? Why can't you rattle Cam Newton?
Yes.
Why can't you rattle quarterback?
Do it.
But we're going to see.
I mean, you're giving up 30 anyways, right?
Agreed. We're going to see if this is the turning point for the defense and they say, "Wow, this worked," or if they're going to go back to playing more prevent style defense once they play better opponents. And I'm not talking about the Dolphins. I'm talking about later when they have the rematch against Drew Brees, when they get the rematch against, you know, Cam Newton, when they got Matt Ryan. Yeah.
I don't think Hargraves is going back outside.
Hargraves might not play.
Yeah,
he's got a hamstring injury.
Oh, well, yeah.
He was hobbling pretty bad in the locker room.
Yeah,
they
downgraded him to out like immediately.
Yeah,
so that's you're right. That's not good.
He's not going to play. But to your point, yes, I think he's much better inside.
And not just this season. Like I just think Hargraves might be a really great nickel corner, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes, there is. Okay. He was drafted 11th overall. You spent 11th round draft pick on a nickel cornerback.
I'm not arguing that point at all. Okay. Vernon was clearly overdrafted, and that was clearly a problem because it did set the roster building here back a little bit. But every playoff contending team needs a really good nickel corner. So as long as they go out and if they find one in free agency or the draft or whatever, if Ryan Smith develops, whatever it is, Vern will play a role. It's not like he is useless.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. Now, I think we all would agree in hindsight, if the Bucs had spent a first-round pick overall on Rondae Barber in 1997 rather than the third round, that would have been appropriate. I mean, the guy's what I believe is a future Hall of Famer. He's a Bucs Ring of Honor guy. You know, 47 interceptions, 25-plus sacks. But the difference is, Rondae Barber was a playmaking corner, not just outside, but also in the nickel, obviously, with those blitzes and interceptions. And that's the one thing Vernon Hargraves has to do is make plays. It's one thing to cover well. He's got to take his game when he gets back in the lineup to the next level. He's got to force fumbles. He's got to blitz and get some sacks. He's got to
intercept the ball.
Yeah, he's got one career interception, just as many as Justin Evans does. So, to me, if he's found a role, that's great. But right now, there's not a big difference between him and Javion Elliott, who was an undrafted free agent. Hargraves is playing well inside, but to your point, Mark, completely overdrafted.
I like Javion.
Well, I like him too, but I don't think there's a huge difference between Javion Elliott and
Hargraves. But if they redrafted, Javion Elliott would not have been drafted 11th overall. Correct. I mean, as good as he
I mean, and that's why, like, when we talk about draft value and why you don't take guys in the first round, it's because the skill gap between like the best guy and like an average guy is not that big at nickel corner.
Right.
You know, like it can be that big at pass rusher. It can be that big at quarterback. It can be that big at offensive line.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
That's also why, you know, a lot of people and Bucks fans included, they're talking about Saquon Barkley as a possible guy that if they're picking in the top five, they can take him. And I'm just like, I like Saquon. He's great, but value for a running back. Like, what's the difference between – like, look at – like, Kareem Hunt has been doing great. And and even, like, Cook was doing great. And Fournette's doing great. But Kamara is doing great.
And I think he's a second-round pick, Alvin Kamara.
Right.
By the way, both of you guys hated Kamara coming out. I remember that.
Yeah, I did. I'm not going to back down from that. Yeah. And I've been proven wrong.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you did.
No.
You did.
Yeah.
You were
a Kamara hater.
I'm going to pull up the receipts.
Being slow to get into the corner. I read a cover three.
Oh, Uncle Stan, calm down. Isn't it your bedtime? What time is it?
Getting close. It's daylight savings time. It's dark out right now.
All right, so now I'm going to pull my Scott Reynolds and be Mr. Negative Nancy here a little bit. Buccaneers won. Everything's great.
Realist.
But this team still can't run the damn football.
Of course not.
You're not going to win. I mean, defense played great, but you're not going to get sacks, six sacks every week. And let's face it, the Jets hurt themselves. The Jets look like the Buccaneers at times with penalties, with interceptions, turnovers, just silly plays, drop balls, things like that.
I'll say it again. I don't have the Jets won four games. I really don't.
I have no idea.
How did they go on the road and
this
beat
the
Bills?
This was not a quality win. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Every win's a quality win, Scott. Stop.
It's true.
It.
Okay,
it's the NFL. All right. We got to
cool it on the Doug Martin hate, too. Like, the offensive line is clearly proving that it is the problem.
No. Dirk said it's the receiver's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And the quarterback's
fault.
And
the tight ends.
And the tight end's fault.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't mention the running backs, though. In fairness, Dirk did not mention the running backs.
But he did say, you know, look, we're definitely not where we need to be as far as the running game goes. The combination of all of the issues. And, you know, even pass protection today. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick was flushed, was hit often. I mean, teams are going to get there. I mean, the Jets do a pretty good job of disguising things and things like that. But – But, I mean, Fitzpatrick got drilled a number of times today. And, again, he's no spring chicken. And, you know, they're one bad hit away from literally Ryan Fitzpatrick being the only quarterback on this roster, and Adam Humphries is his backup.
Hey, you were in the press conference for Dirk along with myself, Mark. Do you feel like the pressure is getting to Dirk Koetter? He was a little snippy today with the reporter.
Which is rare after a win.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, do you get the sense, because now the Gruden articles are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were the first ones to kind of suggest that.
Not even the first. We were not kind of. We were.
Okay, we were the first to suggest
absolutely
that Gruden could be a guy. We said Gruden, with Gruden
From the source himself.
Yes. Yeah. With Gruden lurking, Koetter has to turn this around quickly. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there, listen, when we wrote in the SRS Fab 5 that...
You wrote it. Me and Trevor, we weren't allowed to write
it. When
it
was on PeterReport.com
I didn't
that we suggested Gruden's coming back, there were some national media outlets that they kind of poo-pooed that. And they said, well, just because he says he's planning to come back or preparing to come back doesn't mean he's going to.
I believe those are the same national outlets that are now trying to report it.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, yeah, no, listen, the pressure's definitely, and naturally, I mean, he's a human being, all right? Sometimes Dirk is.
You sure?
Pretty sure. He's not a cyborg. I haven't cut him to see if he bleeds yet, but I'm pretty sure he will.
No,
yeah, that's true.
If it bleeds,
I'm going to go on
it.
The hunch that he's a human. And
if it bleeds, we can kill it.
I'm going to go also on the hunch that absolutely the pressure's getting to the guy. I mean, he's in charge of a team that before today had lost 5 games in a row, a team that had lofty expectations, not just with the media and the fans, but in that locker room itself. And so, yeah, it's getting to him a little bit. Now, you know, he started this a little bit last year with me when Trent Dilfer used to be on 620 every Monday or Tuesday.
Trent Dilfer, former Bucks quarterback.
Great analyst.
Super Bowl champion.
Much better analyst than quarterback. But
yes.
But Trent would make some decent points, and he would watch the Bucks game specifically and then talk to Ronnie and T-Kraz at the time. And I think 2 weeks in a row I brought up Trent Dilfer's name, and he stopped me. He's like, hey, listen, I don't want to hear what this guy said or that guy said. I want to know what you said.
Don't
What's your
start
question?
Your sentence off with
they
so-and-so said.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it kind of became the Mark Cook rule.
Yeah.
But,
which was violated today in the postgame,
yeah,
not by
and
you.
Not by me. I don't know who it was.
It's like a TV reporter.
Yeah.
Local guy.
I don't know. I think it was maybe the guy from Channel 10. But anyway, you know, was asking a they question. And Dirk stopped.
No, but hold on. It was a legitimate question. He said that DeSean Jackson gave a post-game speech, right? Didn't
right.
he suggest that?
Yeah.
And what, you know, what... Oh, no, it was about the mindset. Some of your players were saying that they needed to change their mindset.
Right.
Okay, so we just came back from open locker room. Some of the players were saying that. Kendall Beckwith was one of those guys, is saying the mindset had to change. So the reporter talks to Dirk in the post-game press conference minutes later, and basically regurgitated exactly what the player said. And then he says,
I
wasn't
all,
there. I didn't hear that.
Right. I didn't hear it. And, you know, you could, anybody could say anything.
You could be making it up.
Right. Insinuating the guy's making it up. And, I mean, that it is a legitimate question. Again, we're not asking him his thoughts on oil prices per barrel rising up to over $80.
It's about your football players said this.
About your football team that you are in charge of.
It sounded a little bit of like Sam Weish.
That's right.
It sounded a little Sam Weishish.
Absolutely.
Circa 1995, which happened to be Sam's last year.
And he said, I'm getting tired of, or something like that. Or, you know, I don't, you know.
He tried to laugh it off, but you can tell he was peeved about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he just won the game.
Again, we're not asking him what some fan said in the stands standing at the urinal in the third quarter. We're asking him what his own football team had to say. And then the reporter kind of rephrased it like, do you think, you know, do you agree
with it? It's not unreasonable to have the head coach of a football team comment, whether he heard it or not, about something that his players said. That's not unreasonable. And it just seemed to me, with his body language, and part of our job as reporters is not just to, you know, listen to exactly what people say, but it's their body language. It's reading between the lines.
Yeah.
It's having the intuition as a reporter to say, I've been in this situation enough. This reminds me of this. And boy, this is alarm bells. I mean, I've had a lot of, even when I wrote the whole thing about Dirk Koetter after the Arizona game, it reminded me of Lovie Smith in the collapse at the Capitol. My spider sense was tingling. The alarm bells are going off, and you know, and it's like, wow, I don't know why I feel compelled to write this, but geez, I get the sense that John Gruden would want to come back this year and coach the Buccaneers. And if Dirk Cutter doesn't turn this thing around, that could come to fruition.
Yeah.
And as the losses have mounted, that is becoming closer and closer to reality.
Yep. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And like you said, I mean, it's being reported more nationally. It was on Pro Football Talk this morning, and Mike Lombardi wrote something about it this weekend. And
Gruden was on Rich Eisen's show.
Yeah, that's right, Rich Eisen's show.
And kind of hinted and speculated a bit. Yeah. But again, with Gruden, you have to read between the lines. I covered that guy every single minute he was here. And I know what John's saying without him saying it.
Right.
And he wants to come back, and I believe he wants to come back and coach the Buccaneers. And if there's an opportunity, I think he's going to take it.
Yeah.
And I think that the Glaziers are going to offer him that opportunity.
Unless things just drastically turn around.
Exactly. And that's up to Dirk Cutter, and that's right. Up to this football team.
And listen, let's face it. We know this organization would prefer that to happen. They don't want to turn around and fire another guy. But it's going to have to be proven on the field. I mean, let's hope we can get things turned around in year three.
Again, I'm not being a negative Nancy or a Debbie Downer here, but this is November. Okay, I'm gonna point out two things real quickly here. December is the month that changes football fortunes. Lovie Smith, if you remember, got this team to 6-6 before they lost the last four games.
Yeah.
Okay, so had that team when they came back from losing at Washington, right. They got back to 6-6. They killed the Eagles in 2015.
Right.
Had they made some noise in the month of December, things might have been different.
Yep.
But they didn't. They lost four straight. John Gruden lost four straight games in December.
Yep. 9-3 at one point.
That team was 9-3
at one point. Had home field advantage at that point. Yep. Number one seed in the NFC.
Absolutely. And everything was going great. All of a sudden, Lane Kiffin gets a Tennessee job. Monty Kiffin, dad wants to help out his son, and is out there making some recruiting calls in his offense rather than watching tape. And all of a sudden, the Buccaneers lose four straight. John Gruden's fired. So, great win today by the Buccaneers. Great that they got off the schneid, the losing skid here. Still work to be done, as DeSean Jackson pointed out. Don't get too high off this. Yeah. Don't think we've arrived and we're back, because they're still 3-6. And still got a couple more games in November, a big one next week. Can this defense show that it can play similar to this on the road finally? Or is it going to be the same defense that can't tackle, can't sack the quarterback, can't get takeaways, and gives up 30 points? Because if that's the case, the Dolphins are going to win next week.
Now, if I'm a gambling man, Scott,
you're singing my
song. I'm not sure what the line is going to be. It'll probably come out later tonight, tomorrow on the Dolphins.
It'll come out tomorrow.
And we'll see exactly where the Bucs are, but I'm thinking I would maybe take a little gamble here on the Buccaneers next week.
I'm not touching the Buccaneers. I'm not.
Okay. But if you wanted to touch them, how could you touch them?
Would do it at mybookie.ag.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to brag when I say that I cleaned up yesterday, Saturday, in college football. But I cleaned up. I won all five games.
Yeah.
5 for 5.
Did you ever figure out if you were doing a parlay teaser, triple spread, quadruple?
I thought I did, but I did that for the NFL, not college.
Oh, okay.
Because I actually thought that I hit a parlay yesterday, hit all three teams in college, and I went to check out mybookie.ag, and I actually was stupid and forgot to put in the college parlay that I wanted. And,
right.
And I would have won probably 40, 50 bucks had I done that. So
way
my fault.
To go.
But I'm not going to cry about it. I cashed in on $23 yesterday. So
hey-o.
It was fun. I really enjoy mybookie.ag. I'm still, you know, working off of the original amount of money I put in, plus the bonus money that I got by mentioning the word pewter. P-E-W-T-E-R. If you mention that when you sign up at mybookie.ag, and when you put in, how'd you hear about us? PewterReport.com's Pewter Nation podcast. Mention the word pewter. That's the promo. That's going to give you 100% matching deposit. So if you put in 100, Mark, how much you're going to get?
You're going to get $199.99.
No, they're going to give you the whole $100.
Oh.
So you're going to walk out of there with $200 off your initial deposit.
Wow.
If you put in $500, boom, you got $1,000 of which to gamble with. So
it's like
it's fun.
Free money.
It is, yeah. And they have... They have NHL, they've got NBA, NCAA football, they've got NFL, they've got in-game betting if you like to sit there and bet the money line, if you like to bet first quarter, halftime scores. The whole kit and caboodle is at mybookie.ag. They're the official sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Having a lot of fun, winning some money, It makes football watching a lot more fun, and not even just fantasy football, because then you're looking at, well, what about this guy and this team and this tight end over here and all that? That can get a little out of whack. This is simply, hey, if you know who's going to win, put your money where your mouth is. Bet the money line, bet the point spread, bet the over-under, and have some fun at mybookie.ag.
And use the promo code Pewter and double your initial deposit. All right, real quick before we get out of here, guys, one thing that was brought up by Rick Stroud in the press conference to Dirk was Jameis Winston. And of course, Dirk, you know, kind of was doing his generic answer about that. But apparently, Rick's got some word or some sources telling him that it's going to be a little bit longer than 2 weeks.
Actually, Jason Light said that on the pregame broadcast that he's going to be out an extended period. Now, does that mean an extra week? Does
that
mean a total of 3 weeks?
He's not going to play again.
Yeah, he's not going to
play
again.
He's not going to play.
He's retiring?
But here's the thing.
And he should go to baseball.
I'll pose this to you guys. What happens if the Buccaneers win these next two games? What happens if they win three games? And now all of a sudden...
Then they're going to get a worse draft pick.
Well, exactly. But what I'm saying is the temptation there to try to put Jameis Winston back in to try to save some jobs and make a playoff run?
Yeah.
They're not going to put him on IR, so I guess it's... Yeah, they're going to just wait and see. So it's not like they have to decide now, nor are they going to decide now. I just don't think he's going to play again because I think that there's a good chance they probably beat Miami because Miami's terrible.
Right.
But then I don't really see them beating Atlanta or the Saints again. So
I agree.
And then when Matt Stafford comes to town, I think that's – I mean, I guess Green Bay, because Green Bay is now a terrible football team. So that's
– Yeah, but that's on the road, though. Again, this is the same Buccaneer defense that has given up 30 points per game.
Right. So, like, at that point – So the next couple of games, let's just say that the extended
Dolphins,
period of time –
Dolphins, Falcons, Packers, those three games in a row. There's a chance they could win two out of the three. Yeah. I don't think they're going to beat the Falcons. There's a chance. So
what is the key game?
Well, I think the key game is the Falcons game, really. I mean, if you beat the Dolphins,
so if they beat the Dolphins and the Falcons, do you think he comes back for the Packers?
I wouldn't put him in there.
That's 3 weeks that he's hasn't played to heal.
I don't know. And here's the other thing too: is if you win two out of three with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You keep Fitz in there.
Hell, what if you win three in a row with the guy?
That's what I'm saying.
Because if they win that one, they're 6-6.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. If Jameis came back and had a bad game, people would lose their minds.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, all right. We will
There's
look into that. We'll
there.
Know. We'll dig into that a little bit more this week as we head to One Buck in Our Place. We've got Dirk Cutter tomorrow at 2:30. Tuesday is Players' Day off, then back to the regular week schedule on Wednesday, Thursday,
I think victory
and
money tomorrow, too, right, for the players?
I don't think they do that anymore. They haven't done it all year this year, actually.
I think they might after this game just because they need to savor this. And also keep in mind, now you're into November. The Bucks were supposed to have a bye week this coming week. So Dirk might show them a little bit of grace here and give them Monday off.
Well, and I did hear with a trusted source that Scott – they're going to return the ping pong balls back to the locker room.
And the music.
So the guys, and a little That's bit of good. Music. They're going to make them play
they
country.
Deserve it.
They're going to make them play country, but the music will be back. And
Luke
the ping
Stocker
pong tables.
Will approve of that.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. They haven't taken any of that stuff out. But anyway, all right. That is it for this edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. Later in the week, we'll definitely have another one, either Wednesday or Thursday. So make sure you stay tuned to that. Give us some feedback. Give us some ratings on iTunes. We appreciate that as well. Share this with your friends and family, even your enemies. If you don't like them, that's okay. We just want people to listen. And also share your thoughts in the comments section. Let us know what we can do better. If there's a segment that you would like us to do or a topic for us to do, let us know. And we'll
put
that up.
We read your message board stuff.
Yep.
I'm just like the one that was talking about us not writing about Jason Light and whatever. Like, we read all that stuff.
Right.
Just, I mean, like, you guys aren't just yelling at the wind. Trust us. You know, we read it.
Absolutely. And a Monday mailbag. Get your questions submitted as soon as you listen to this podcast. You could use the hashtag PR mailbag for that, and that'll be coming out at some point tomorrow. PFF grades will be out on Monday as well. Trevor's Cover 3 will be out on Tuesday this week. He's made us a prompt. No?
What?
I
promise
anyway.
For Tuesday, Trevor?
Tuesday night at 11:59.
I will say this. I'm just going to prep you guys. This SRS Fab 5 is going to blow up. This is going to be a money SRS Fab 5.
I thought this week's was a really good one because you introduced Buccaneer fans as somebody they would be salivating over, a guy like Bradley Chubb. If you haven't read that yet, go read Scott's SR.
They win another game, they're not going to pick him.
I know. Well,
that's
they win one more game, and they won't
Bradley Chubb got 2.5 sacks against Boston College to really up his total. So, yeah, that he is the premier pass rusher this year that they need to get.
To draft him. Look, they've got to address the pass rush. It's not just solved with 6 sacks today. I mean, three of these guys may not even be playing on this football team next year. So, anyway. All right, we will come back. We've got plenty of things to talk about later in the week for Scott Reynolds, Trevor Sikkema, my son, the birthday boy, who's helping produce this show, Douglas Cook. We're going to say I'm Mark Cook, and we will come back later this week with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.